Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Bud Weiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Weiser Living Headquarters. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you today who have taken the time out to tune into this broadcast. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes or so, I want to add to your wellness experience. Before we get started, please go to Weiser Living, that's W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Weiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs and Weiser Living Radio, at Weiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs and services, Weiser Living seminars, recipes, and products at the WeiserLiving.com website. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. So once again, check out WeiserLiving.com. Sign up, it's free. Subscribe to Weiser Living TV. Follow us at Weiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/WeiserLiving for you guys that check into Facebook every day. And you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. And that list keeps increasing, doesn't it? Let me start off by just throwing out some words that refer to the brain: cerebrum, cerebellum, limbic system, brainstem, frontal lobe, parietal lobe, occipital lobe, temporal lobe, thalamus, cerebral cortex, hypothalamus, medulla, pons, spinal cord, all these weird words, and these are all references to the brain. And researchers are still attempting to just unravel all of the brain's complexities. I mean, it's really a complex, area or entity or organ to deal with. And the brain is an amazing organ. It is comprised of cells that, until recently, we thought they just die off and not be replaced as we age, which leads to dementia or Alzheimer's. That's why a lot of times years ago it was referred to, grandma has is senile, and it was attributed to age. But we now know that brain cells actually regenerate. You get new ones. The brain is made up of 100 billion nerve cells, and these nerve cells are called neurons, and it can hold more information. Get this. It can hold more information than all of the books that have ever been published. The hard drive in your computer pales in comparison to the information that your brain can store. Now just think about it for a moment. All of the physiological activities that your brain has to accomplish every second of your life is done without your activity, you being really concentrated on it. For instance, how many times in the last 5 minutes did you blink your eye? I mean, how many times did your heart beat in the last 60 seconds? I mean, are other thoughts going on in your head as you listen to this broadcast? Are you multitasking right now? can you drive and simultaneously text on your cell phone, even though it's illegal, at least in, most places? These are just a few examples of what your brain has to deal with for you to be normal. But when it doesn't do what comes natural, it's called a dysfunction. We put that name to it, and we treat its symptoms. We don't treat the causes. Most of the time, the causes of the maladies in the brain are unknown. So we treat the symptoms because, for the most part, there's no cure, no magic bullet, no pill that you can ingest to get rid of it. For instance, the incidence of Alzheimer's disease is more than 2.5 million, afflicting something like 15% of Americans over the age of 65. And this problem was once classified as senile dementia. This is basically a degenerative disease, which is characterized by mental deterioration to the degree that it just interferes with a person's ability to function socially and at work, because memory and abstract thought processes become impaired. Now, kind of remember the word memory. These are key words: memory and thought. Memory and thought. You know, some of the characteristics of this disorder are memory loss, severe mood swings, personality changes, disoriented perceptions of space and time, and an inability to concentrate or even communicate. And this person's health progressively deteriorates until they are totally incapacitated, and death usually occurs within 5 years if they're not treated. Now, many people, they worry that their forgetfulness is a sign of Alzheimer's disease, but it's not. Forgetting where you put your eyeglasses or keys is not an indication of Alzheimer's disease. But if you forget that you wear glasses, if you forget what a particular key is for, you know, like, you know, a car key versus a house key, then that would be showing signs of dementia. Now, research has revealed that there's a strong correlation between Alzheimer's disease and excessive amounts of aluminum that's concentrated in your brain. Now, autopsies of victims of Alzheimer's disease revealed excessive, if not only just aluminum, but silicon as well in the brain. The hippocampus, I know that's a strange word, don't worry about it. The hippocampus area and the cerebral cortex of Alzheimer's patients contain not only excess amounts of aluminum, but also excess amounts of bromide, calcium, silicon, and sulfur. And in addition to that, there was a deficiency also noted of boron, potassium, selenium, vitamin B12, and zinc. Now, these results may suggest that excessive amounts of aluminum in the diet and an antiperspirant that you place under your armpits, combined with a lack of several essential minerals plus not having a balanced gut ecology, can directly or indirectly predispose one to Alzheimer's disease. It's even in baking. You know, I like to bake. And, you know, baking powder, you have to really look at the ingredients and make sure there's no aluminum in the baking powder. Another brain disorder is Parkinson's disease, which is also called shaking palsy or paralysis agitans. Now, Parkinson's disease is a degenerative disease that affects the nervous system, and the cause is unknown. So you can't really get to the cause and get rid of it. You have to treat the symptoms. But the symptoms appear when there's an imbalance of two chemicals in the brain. Dopamine is one, and acetylcholine, or some people say acetylcholine, is another. Now, scientists found a deficiency of dopamine in certain brain cells. Now, this chemical, it actually carries messages from one nerve cell to the next. So when the brain is not able to manufacture dopamine, Parkinson's disease is the result. And malnutrition is believed to be a major factor, which means that, once again, it's important to realize that the quality, the quantity, and the composition of bacteria in your gut has an enormous influence on your brain. Look at your gut right now. You know, that's the area where your navel is. Look how far it is from your brain. And there's a connection as if it's in your neck. I mean, close to your brain. It's very important here. See, those who frequently suffer from, say, let's say, headaches, may have a reaction to wheat, chocolate, MSG, or what's commonly known as monosodium glutamate, sugar, hot dogs, processed luncheon meat, citric acid, alcohol, stress. I should say stress again. Stress. I should say it one more time. Stress. Tension. Anxiety. Obviously, trauma to the head. You know, if you fall in your tub, you black out or something, hit your head. Concussions in football, as you've heard a lot on the sports channels. Perfume, aftershaves, pollution, and the list goes on. Another real possibility to consider are bowel problems. Yes, once again, problems in your gut from processed foods, GMO foods, food-like substances, chemicals, and fast foods. And I always tell sufferers of headaches to check the integrity of their intestinal tract. Matter of fact, you can check out YouTube, our YouTube videos, Dr. Budweiser and Dr. Budweiser, the gut-brain connection, Dr. Budweiser enemas, let's get to the bottom of things, Dr. Budweiser's olive oil and lemon juice cleanse, and Dr. Budweiser's what exactly is detoxification and why do it. I'll mention these later on before I close the broadcast, but you want to check these out during the upcoming week. So when we go into part two, because this is so important, there's more than one part. There's two parts to this, as most of you already know. You know, then there's the migraine. We talked about headaches. You want to check your colon. What about migraines? That's a headache. It's just a more severe type of a headache. The migraines begin with a throbbing headache that is usually centered above or behind one of your eyes, or it can begin at the back of the head and spread to one entire side of your head. I mean, the classic type migraine is preceded by an aura, the A-U-R-A, which can consist of vision problems, speech disorders, weakness and sensory disturbances. And aura basically can also consist of those brilliant stars or sparks or flashes, or those sometimes the simple geometric forms that pass through your vision, your sight, your field of vision. And usually the first thing that should be checked is your hydration. You know, many times a migraine is a sign of dehydration, but it can also be triggered by allergies and constipation. And constipation, here goes that intestine ecology again, you know, down by your navel, not talking about your stomach, and your guts. Here goes that word again, stress, or a lack, I know you're not going to want to hear this, a lack of exercise. As a friend of mine, a pastor in the UK, he says he doesn't like to use the word exercise. He uses the word movement. Movement. Most of us don't move. And I know this is probably going to, you know, you might want to stand up for this. Don't sit in your seat because you may fall out of your chair. Every 10 minutes when you're sitting down at work or what have you, doing something on the computer, every 10 minutes you should stand up. Set a timer and see if you actually can adhere to that. Every 10 minutes you should stand up and stretch. And most of us will be sitting. And even I'm I violate this. I can sit for hours working on something because I'm so engrossed in it. But that's not good for the body as a whole, because the brain and the rest of your body is works together, as you'll see. 70% of migraine sufferers are women. And many of these patients have abnormal levels of brain chemicals that cause excessive widening and or narrowing of the brain's blood vessels. I can give you the big words like arteriosclerosis. That's a big word. It means that, you know, there's some narrowing of the vessel. Now, the brain, speaking of that, the brain manufactures hundreds of chemicals called neurotransmitters. They're just nerve transmitters. They transmit through nerves. These neurotransmitters affect your mood. They produce natural painkillers, natural tranquilizers, and natural appetite suppressants, which means you don't even have to go to get a prescription. You don't need to go and get an over-the-counter, you know, a painkiller. Your body actually produces if you have the right nourishment building blocks in your system. Neurotransmitters are made up of, guess what, nutrients that allow information to pass from one circuit to another. This process allows all functions of the body to take place in the proper sequence. You don't have to think about it. How many times did you blink your eye in the last 10 seconds? You wasn't even thinking about it. It just happened automatically, right? It's like if I frighten you, you know, all of a sudden all this blood rushes to you, you know, you get red, and then you get hot, and the pores got to open up. I can go through a whole cascade, but I don't have the time to do that. But your body is doing it automatically, and it's coming from your brain. So, once again, this process allows all the functions of the body to take place in the proper sequence. So, which means that all of these nutrients must be in a proper balance or problems will occur. This is important because many conditions that result from nutritional deficiencies alter mental states. In fact, changes in mood are often the first signs of brain deficiency. You know, when you get to a hormone imbalance, or that thing that happens right before you have a menstrual cycle, for you women that have a menstrual cycle, you know, premenstrual syndrome, that thing that happens. Mood change, brain deficiency due to some type of missing ingredient. Depression, memory loss, anxiety, and irritability are some of these signs. The brain never sleeps. And overall, the brain uses about 20% of the body's energy. That's amazing to me. You do all this exercise, and your brain is using one-fifth of the energy that all of the energy that you expend, the brain is using one-fifth of it. It requires constant oxygen, not frequent, constant oxygen, which it receives where? From the bloodstream, and it uses basically approximately 25% of all the oxygen that you inhale. So one-fifth of the body's energy, one-quarter of all the oxygen that you inhale. What does this translate into? Well, proper oxygen is essential. It's not a luxury. It's essential through a normal blood supply to the brain. The blood vessels supplying the brain with oxygen tend to get clogged up as we age. And without an adequate supply of oxygen and nutrients through the bloodstream, guess what? The brain will not function normally. Senility is one known result of a loss of blood supply and therefore oxygen to the brain. So senility is basically due to not getting enough oxygen. So how do you get enough oxygen? How do you get more oxygen besides thinking about it, exercise? How do you get more oxygen? You got to have proper nutrition. You know, you'll begin to see that what we think is a luxury isn't really. It's essential. As a matter of fact, when blood supply to any area of the brain is disconnected or a hemorrhage from a blood vessel occurs, the result is what we call a cerebral, you know, in medical terms, a cerebral vascular accident, which is commonly known as a stroke. You know, it's not a stroke of genius, it's a stroke of impairment. The hypothalamus, what is that? You know, it's below the thalamus. What is the thalamus? Well, it's a section of the brain which constantly monitors the blood sugar level by sending messages to the pancreas to release more insulin. So your brain is doing this. So if you got a toxic brain, you got a problem with your brain, you got problems with organs that normally function correctly. So sending these messages, which basically to the pancreas to release more insulin, which lowers your blood sugar, or glucagon, which elevates your blood sugar. It's basically into the bloodstream in order to normalize our sugar levels, the heart, the liver, your fat cells, muscles, your lungs. They all compete with the brain for blood sugar. So in order to get sugar, specifically glucose, I'm not talking about that stuff that's on your table or that stuff you get sprinkled on your donuts or how donuts are made. I'm not talking about that. The glucose to your brain, you must have a correct diet and avoid simple sugars such as soft drinks, candies, pastries, donuts. You know, foods of this type trigger too much insulin release, which lowers blood sugar, which leads to a hypoglycemic state, which means a low sugar state that damages the brain. And I'm not even going to get into the insulin resistance that gets, you know, finds its way into the cell wall that prevents the sugar to get into the cell when you actually need it. That'll be for another broadcast. But suffice it to say that many disorders stem from a malfunction of the central nervous system, which includes the brain. It also includes the spinal cord. So nerve signals that travel up and down the spinal cord, linking the brain to the rest of your body. So you got this thing in the back of that bone where the nerves come out, and you wonder sometimes, why do I have pain going down my leg? Or I got, you know, a neck pain or head pain. I got all of these different pains. They're warning signs trying to let you know that there's a problem that needs to be corrected. So to function properly, the brain on a daily basis requires about 4 ounces. That's 0.11 liters, 0.11 11 liters of glucose, as well as sodium, potassium, fatty acids, amino acids, which is basic protein, vitamins and minerals, and 400 calories. This is what the brain needs. So you don't need a lot of sugar each day. That may be shocking to some of us because we get too much sugar, and it affects the integrity of the brain. So we don't need all of that sugar each day, and that's one reason why we have obesity running rampant. It's out of control, really. Not only does the excess sugar lead to abnormal weight or abdominal fat, it damages brain function, and it upsets the gut ecology. So here we go with the brain and then the gut again. There is a gut-brain connection that requires proper actions on whose part? Your part. See, we all know that the brain is made for thinking, right? I mean, that's obvious. But I want to list 8 facts that I'd like you to, you know, take hold of, because I think it's really important. This is really important, and I wasn't going to put it in this broadcast, but I think it's really important that I go through these 8 facts that you need to take hold of. Number one, you can think yourself clever. You can think yourself clever, sharp mind. You can think yourself that. Number two, you can think yourself calm. Take a deep breath. Relax. I'm going to do a relaxation video, not video, but an audio program just so people can start relaxing. Take a deep breath. Let it out. You can think yourself calm. Just imagine doing that twice, I'm calm. And I'm like, I get really pumped up when I'm doing broadcasts like this. Number three, you can think yourself healthy. Yes, you can actually think yourself healthy, which will in turn cause you to do the right thing as far as proper supplementation, proper exercise. I mean, just the list goes on, right? Harmony, proper communication. I mean, all of those things will happen just by you thinking yourself healthy. Number four, you can think yourself out of worry and anxiety. Yes, you can, really. You can. We just choose to hold on to it. So you can think yourself out of worry and anxiety. Number five, you can think yourself out of bitterness and resentment. I know a lot of you you're going to hold on to it even though I'm saying this. You can think yourself out of bitterness and resentment, because if you don't, your brain is going to cause some other things that happen, which I'll go into a little bit later. Number six, you can think yourself into forgiving. That's probably one of the most difficult things to do, is to get your brain to say the word forgive and then act on it and continue to act on it. You want to put a what I call an extension. You know those extensions they put on your computer and mess your computer up, and with all those ads and things like that, adware, malware. So you want to put an extension on it. Yes, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget. It's going to throw out a different chemical. But you can actually think yourself into forgiving. Number seven, you can think yourself in control of your emotions. You don't need to go to a seminar. You can sit and do this in your home. Think yourself in control of your emotions. And number eight, you can think yourself out of stress. You really can. So what is a thought? Since we can do all this thinking, when you think, chemicals course through your body in an electrochemical feedback loop. And at any one moment, your brain is creatively performing about 400 billion actions, but you're not only conscious, you're only conscious of about 2,000 of them. I don't have to say how many times that you, blink your eye, do I? No, because you don't know. You don't have no idea, even though I've already said it again. So I want you to count how many times you blink your eye. The next, each of these regulated actions has both a chemical and an electrical component that are responsible for triggering emotion. So when you feel happy, your brain has released specific types of chemicals or neurotransmitters that I mentioned before, right? These nerve transmitters. And they're called endorphins or feel-good chemicals. So forget the word endorphins, because sometimes I can't remember that one. And I think, oh, man, my mind, I'm losing my mind. Oh, I just said I'm losing my mind. That's why I'm losing my mind, because I said it. So I'm going to stop saying it. I'm not losing my mind. I'll say it again. I'm not losing my mind. But these feel-good chemicals are called endorphins, once again. And the brain releases these feel-good chemicals in a response to pleasurable feelings, like those of a woman eating a decadent piece of, see, you already said the word. I didn't even say it yet. Chocolate. Now, exercise also prompts the release of these happy endorphins, which is why physical activity is often referred to as being antidepressive. When you feel sad or afraid or angry or hopeful, your brain releases different types of chemicals. Now, depending on whether or not these emotions are toxic to your body, the chemicals will either help or harm you. If they are harmful, they create conditions for a host of health problems that will manifest in both your body and your mind. Emotions that regularly release a bunch of destructive chemicals that will be most damaging over time are unforgiveness, anger, rage, resentment, depression, worry, anxiety, frustration, fear, excessive grief, or excessive guilt. Now, this is not Dr. Budweiser saying this. Research shows that around 87% of illnesses can be attributed to our thought life, and approximately 13% to diet, genetics, and the environment. Wow. So study after study conclusively links more chronic diseases, also known as lifestyle diseases, to an epidemic of toxic emotions in our culture. Toxic emotions can cause migraines and high blood pressure and strokes and cancer and skin problems and diabetes and infections and allergies, just to name a few. But despite all of this, all of the marvels of high-tech modern medicine and the decades of innovative research, these illnesses are increasing at an alarming rate. Even more frightening is that medical science has directly linked emotions such as depression to an increased risk of cancer and heart disease. Studies also point to a direct correlation between anxiety and fear and heart palpitations, irritable bowel syndrome, here we go with the gut ecology again, tension, headaches in the brain, and heart problems. So the theory behind the existence of a dynamic information network linking mind and body is both seductive and revolutionary. Surprising to most people is that thought life, attitude, and emotions are largely responsible for mental and physical health. Thoughts deep within your mind, along with their corresponding minute biochemical reactions, which I started the program, I was talking about a lot of science, you know, the chemicals, they have a massive impact on emotional and physical wellness. So if you don't, if you doubt this fact, just look around. How many people appear to be in excellent health, but after going through a stressful event like a death of a loved one, a bitter divorce, a job loss, were suddenly diagnosed with heart problems, breathing problems, high blood pressure, or a range of other elements? So, or ailments. I mean, I know it's normal to have stress in your life, but your body is not naturally designed to cope with a mountain of stress. Negative reinforcement releases negative chemicals, while positive reinforcement releases positive chemicals. Your thoughts can de-stress you, making you more clever, calm, and in control of your emotions, or they can do just the opposite. The choice is yours. And according to the American Institute of Stress, between 75 to 90% of visits to a primary care doctor are due to stress-related disorders. And researchers internationally have conceded for years that the role of fear, anger, depression, anxiety, and a variety of other emotions play a role in causing mental and physical problems. The medical field solution to this problem is to develop pharmaceutical drugs aimed at trying to change the brain's chemistry to make you feel good. We don't need any more of those happy pills. What we need are coping strategies and a good diet to help us avoid the problems before they come up and detox our minds and our bodies of the toxic thoughts that are causing the damage. So the good news is these coping strategies are available and quickly accessible. So they begin with a thought and your reaction to the thoughts that go on inside your head, and you can take back control of this. So next week we're going to talk about the solutions, how you can do this. You can take back your brain's health and its function. So let your medicine, or actually let your food be your medicine. Let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food, and go to those YouTube videos this week so you'll be prepared for the solutions next week. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll talk to you soon.